The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, and it still is, despite the efforts of so many to change that, welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, coast to coast on more than 100 outstanding radio stations and streaming live all 3 hours at toddstarnes.com. Greetings to you. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. The book tour is underway, and he is on his way to North Carolina right now. We may hear from Todd as this program continues, but that's why he's not with you today. He is delivering the message of our daily biscuit at all points from Georgia to North Carolina and probably at a rest stop along the way if you ask nicely. So we're going to have a good time talking to all of you in Starnes Nation. Please join the conversation if you would. 844-747-8868. 844-747-8868. Same number you always use. Of course, you can follow on and join the live stream and the conversation online at toddstarnes.com. Again, I'm Jeff Stein. Good to be with you again. Coming to you from my home base, the studios of News Talk 1540, KXEL, the 50,000-watt blowtorch, scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views from the heartland of America, the state of Iowa. I am really having a hard time with coincidences these days. And this is where I want to start the conversation. Would love to have you join in. But there are no coincidences in the world. And I am really, really troubled by the Stop Starnes movement, as I am calling it. Stop Starnes movement. Because there is no other way to account for what I'm going to talk about unless it is a concentrated effort to keep Todd from speaking the truth. How else can you explain the fact that just as people are lining up outside the Smokehouse Barbecue in Oakwood, Georgia, yesterday afternoon, lining up to see Todd Starnes shake his hand, as I saw on Instagram, bring him a huge helping of biscuits and butter. Now, it takes something to go into a restaurant and bring your own food. But this made perfect sense for a book called Our Daily Biscuit. The book signing tour kicked off in Oakwood, Georgia yesterday, just as the person in the role of the president, you know, the Harris administration with Joe Biden as president, just as he gets up and says, we've got to all mask. And we've all got to stay away from each other, and we've all got to get vaccinated and get the shot and get the mask, and as we just need to all crawl under rocks again. There's no data to support that, because when they're asked about it, they don't provide data, and they accuse you of being un-American, an anti-vaxxer, some sort of crazy person. Well, why did you change your policy? You said, get the shot, you can take off the mask. So people got the shot, now they still have to wear the mask? What could possibly explain this other than the fact that they wanted to stop people from seeing Todd in Oakwood, Georgia last night, and they want to stop people from seeing Todd tomorrow at the Billy Graham Library from 10:30 to 11:30 local time? This is a deliberate attempt, is it not? by the Harris administration with Joe Biden as president to stop you from getting a copy of the book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. Because heaven knows if you read that book, not only will you get some good recipes for food, but you're actually going to be reinforced. You're going to be reinforced in your idea that you're a free-thinking individual, a child of God, that government does not control you. Well, they don't want you to get that message. So obviously, they're trying to stop you from going to the Billy Graham Library tomorrow from 10:30 to 11:30. You can bring your own copy of the book, or else it is available for purchase in the Ruth's Attic bookstore. Did I mention this is at the Billy Graham Library tomorrow morning at 10:30 local time? There's no other explanation, folks. It's clearly not because of science and data, because there is an absence of all that. In fact, the science and data would not support this change in course. All right, if you don't think that this change is due to Todd Starnes spreading the word throughout the country, then how about this? Today, as I'm talking to you, is Friday, July 30th. That means we're going to be coming up to August this weekend. That means schools will be starting again. And the Democrats in Washington are controlled by what union above all else? If you guessed one of the teachers' unions, you win. Is it such a surprise that they would stick their finger in the air, you know, lick the finger, stick it in the air, and determine the political winds when they said you don't have to wear masks? I mean, there was no science really behind that. That was a political decision, if you remember, friends, a few months ago. It was a purely political decision where they said, oh, no, it's fine. If you've got the shot, you don't have to wear the mask. That way we'll get more people to get the shot. Yeah, that's it. That's the ticket. And then we get to this point when all of a sudden now you've got the powerful teachers' unions, powerful in terms of Democrat Party politics. They don't want to have to go back to work. They got pretty comfy in the past year. Is it beyond the realm of possibility that there was a level of consultation, a few well-placed phone calls, to say, you know, we really cannot go back to having teachers in classrooms where they might, heaven forbid, interact with children? We can't have that. We can't have that because then we start losing control. We need, above all else, control in these big cities that are going down the sewer hole at an ever-increasing rate. Do you suppose it's beyond the realm of possibility that the teachers' union said, we're getting near August, we have got to get the masks on. We have got to be able to say things are worse so we don't go back and meet in school. There is such a split in this country, folks, and you know it, because by listening to this program, you're one of those who understands what's really going on. The split is not Republican versus Democrat. It is not even conservative versus liberal slash progressive slash Marxist. And it is not a racial split, as many would like you to believe. The split is big cities controlled by, yes, Democrats, and the rest of America. I know this from where I sit in the heartland, in the state of Iowa, because I will have people on my daily radio show, which is on the air at KXEL.com right before the live broadcast of the Todd Starnes Show. I'm sorry, I should have said shameless plug alert. I didn't mean to hit you with that cold. I'm sorry. But I'll talk to people on my program here in Iowa, and they are not people that have to do with COVID. All right, it's not necessarily a medical expert. It's just somebody that I talk to about business, or I talk about economics. Might be someone we talk about politics with, but not with regard to this issue. And sometimes they'll make a comment offhandedly like, well, if we can ever get the schools opened up again. They're sitting there in New York, Washington, wherever. Well, if we can just get the, you know, once we get the schools opened up. And I have to point out to them, and this is a chronology for you. March of 2020 was when we were all told to shut everything down for 2 weeks. That was March of 2020. That's a long time ago. By June and July, we had high school sports in my state of Iowa, baseball and softball. We play those high school sanctioned sports in the summertime. That's somewhat unique, but we were back doing that then. And our school kids went back to school in August and September in person. Yes, in some bigger cities, they held out, or as time went on, there was a hybrid where, heaven forbid, parents got to choose if their kid learned at home or in school. But we started going back to school when you went back to school. And my state legislature then passed a law this past spring prohibiting school districts, public school districts, from having mask mandates. So before the end of the school year, there had already been some districts that on their own said, you know what, this is stupid. Making these kids and teachers breathe through cloth? Stupid. So they removed the mask mandates, and then the legislature passed a law before the end of the school year that said schools can't just impose mask mandates. And there was never a mask mandate in this state. So what has happened? I'll tell you, we've lived our lives. We've reopened our businesses. We have a booming economy. Now, I tell you that story because I'm sitting here and I know it. But when I say to those people from big cities, you know, we've been back in school since August, I can hear the gasp on the other end of the phone. Even what I'll call right-thinking, not politically right necessarily, right-thinking individuals, when I say, you know, we've been in school for months, they don't know what to make of it because they are so locked into this big city mentality. Well, I'm here in New York City. We don't have our schools open. Get out of New York City. Well, here we are in Washington, D.C., and get out. Just get out. And get to a place where freedom lives. And there are plenty of them. And I have a feeling many of you listening to the National Todd Starnes Radio Show right now, you're in one of those parts of the country where you're back to living your lives and you are nodding right now like, yeah, this is what we do here. We're living our lives. And it's the people in big cities who just don't understand because their leadership, quote unquote, has taken them down this path of control. So even people who want to know better get caught up in it because they don't know any better. All right, well, here's attention. Attention, those of you in big cities on the coast. We are America. We have freedom. We determine what we do, whether it's wear a stupid piece of cloth or get a vaccine, because we make our own decisions. That's what's called freedom. And you can come out with all the proclamations you want. We went with it the first time. And this has nothing to do with who's the president. These are these experts who want control. We went with you the first time. You have proven unworthy of our trust, and we demand information upon which we will make our own decisions. Love to hear what you think on that and anything else that's on your mind on this Friday. 844-747-8868 is the number. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Back in a few to talk to you on the National Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. 844-747-8868 is the number. And that is the number that our great friend from LJ, Georgia, Joe, used. Are you folks going to let, first of all, Joe, thanks for calling in. Are you going to let this government shut down the Georgia Apple Festival?
No, we certainly aren't. We're for freedom down here, Jeff. We believe in it, and we love Todd's book. We love his show, and we love what you're saying. I've taken an informal poll. I'm down here in South Georgia now. We have a home at Sea Island. We live in LJ. But I've been taking an informal poll, and about 80% of the people I'm talking to are against Biden's tax and spending increases and the mask mandates. They're against it. They like freedom, like you and myself.
How much more are you paying for gas to put in your vehicle to get to that home in Southern Georgia you're at now?
It's about just about double. It's about $3 a gallon. But
it
people down
free...
here, I mean, this is Trump territory.
Well, it's freedom territory. That's the key, right? I mean,
yeah.
and when gas prices were creeping up here too, I was used to $2 a gallon. Let's say, well, all of a sudden, boom, there it is, over $3. And I took a picture and posted and just said, thank you, President Biden, because I'm paying more at the grocery store. I'm paying more at the gas pump. Guess how much my wages went up this year, Joe?
Zero.
That's it. So I'm paying more. I am paying more, and it is not worth as much. So what are you folks, good, right-minded, freedom-loving people, what are you doing about all of this? What are you doing this as opposed to just giving up? And I know there's no quit in you, so you tell me, what are you folks doing when you talk to people to rise up?
We're urging everyone to vote Republican in 2022 and 24, and I predict we'll win big majorities in the House and Senate in 22 and the presidency in 2024.
What about all the cheating? What about all of the funny vote counts? Does that have you worried?
Well, it worries, but I think that our election boards around the country are waking up, to stop that fraud. And so I'm looking, even with fraud, I think we'll win a landslide victory because high taxes, more government, all these things. We want freedom. We don't want high taxes. We want to keep taxes low. In fact, we need to cut spending and cut taxes. Right, Joe?
But, Joe, they just have your best interests at heart. They're from the government. They're here to help you.
Now, you and I both do not believe that, right?
No, I do not either. So do you think that the Republicans, good Republicans, should vote for this infrastructure stuff that they're talking about? Do you think the Republicans should pay?
No, they should vote against it.
All right. Joe, thank you so much. Do me a favor. Have a very good weekend, would you please?
Well, same to you, Jeff. You're doing a great job.
You're very kind, and I appreciate the call from Georgia today. That's all it takes. Pick up the phone, 844-747-8868, and you can join this coast-to-coast conversation on the Todd Starnes radio program. I'm Jeff Stein, in for Todd, back after the bottom of the hour break.
If you're like most of us, you're worried about the growing power of big tech and their use of artificial intelligence. They control what we're allowed to say and what we're allowed to see. They're using that power to silence conservative politicians and churches. What's going to happen as their artificial intelligence gains even more power? Well, it's already happening, and you know it. Big tech's AIs are looking over your shoulder right now. And if you say the wrong thing, they can silence you or label you as an extremist. And it's getting worse. We have to ask ourselves, where does it end? Terms of Service, the stunning new Orwellian science fiction novel by AI pioneer Craig W. Stanfill, provides one possible answer. Terms of Service is a fascinating and engaging book that will alert you to these very real dangers to our freedom. Whoever controls the AIs controls the world. Do you care about your freedom? Then read Terms of Service. Go to Amazon.com right now and search for Terms of Service. Or go to www.craigwstanfill.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program, Coast to Coast, on great radio stations, also streaming online at toddstarnes.com. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. But fear not, joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is the host of this program, Todd Starnes. Mr. Starnes, how's the book tour going?
Jeff Stein, the biscuits are selling like hotcakes, and we are having a great time out here visiting and meeting so many of our great listeners all over the southern states. We actually sold out of the biscuit book in Gainesville, thanks to a ravenous crowd at WDUN. We just had a wonderful time and incredible hospitality there at the Smokehouse Barbecue Joint.
I saw the picture that you posted on Instagram. People brought you butter and biscuits at a restaurant. That's a bold move.
Yes, my cardiologist saw those pictures too, Jeff Stein. And he said those better be tofu biscuits.
And because you don't like conflict, you said, well, yes, of course they are. So you're making your way. The next stop tomorrow is at the Billy Graham Library. What a fantastic location. What a fantastic setting for this wonderful book.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun, but we've got a lot more fun on the road. We are in Greenville, South Carolina, making our way to Hendersonville, North Carolina, and we're going to be doing a book signing at WHKP, which is our brand new affiliate there in Hendersonville. And later tonight, I'll be speaking to Republicans at a gathering in the 11th Congressional District. And as you said, tomorrow, we will be at the Billy Graham Library, and we're just really excited to meet the great folks there and a lot of our listeners over in the Charlotte area.
I heard you go down the list of places that you were going to be stopping when I was listening to the program the other day, and I remembered the Billy Graham one, but there were so many others in between I didn't remember them all. So you are making good use of the family truckster on your summer vacation, aren't you?
Well, we really are. It's been fun getting out on the road, and what's fascinating is just hearing from folks and hearing what's on their mind. It gives us a chance to sit down and chat for a while. And I'm telling you, Jeff, most of the people, actually all of the people we're running into, no one's wearing a face mask. People are very aggravated with the government. And I think the general thought is if they do try to implement some sort of another shutdown or a lockdown, people are just simply not going to comply with the government.
I can tell you folks from personal experience, when Todd Stearns is with a group of people, this is not just a quick, hello, how are you, barely look up from the table. He engages in conversation. And so if you show up at one of these events, you'll not only get a book signed, but you'll get a good talking to. And even more important, you'll be heard. And that's something that you don't get very often these days. So as Todd, you talk to the people. I mean, there's only so much they can do to rise up, but basically we are talking not just on your way to North Carolina, but we're talking about in the halls of Congress, it's civil disobedience time. Polite, but civil disobedience.
Oh, it is. And we have to salute all these young Republican staffers and interns that don't make, you know, they don't have enough money for two nickels to rub together. And yet the kids are out there in the halls of the Capitol, engaging in some non-Baptist festivities, we will say, in defiance of Nancy Pelosi. And, you know, the call we put out on our program yesterday, any lawmaker that gets busted, we're happy to put up their bail money if they'd like. And, it's sort of fun to see this, but at the same time, Jeff, it's really shocking that Nancy Pelosi will force American citizens under the threat of arrest to wear a face mask, and yet she's allowing, and the Democrats are allowing, hundreds of thousands of illegals to cross our border, number one, without a vaccination, and number two, without having to wear a face mask. That is sheer hypocrisy.
And even worse, it's not just the border counties in southern Texas. Those people are being escorted all around the country, and you want to talk about a super spreader. I mean, I don't know. When I was growing up in Iowa and the window was open and it was raining and water was coming in the house, you shut the window. Why in the world, when we've got this COVID situation, when we've got an illegal immigration situation, criminal activity is what it is, why aren't we shutting the border? It's all political.
Well, it is all political. And again, the CDC, the New York Times reporting this, the CDC is now apparently saying the new variant is just as contagious as the chickenpox. Okay, well, let's take that at face value for a minute. Why would you not shut down the border? Why would you not shut down all the borders to try and get a handle on this? But they're not going to, because, Jeff, as you correctly asserted, this is really at its heart about politics.
Well, then let's just let all of the Cuban refugees come into Florida. Oh, wait, we can't do that because they might vote Republican.
Well, that's the one thing. That is the one thing the Democrats fear worse than the China virus, is a bunch of Cuban immigrants coming into Florida and bolstering the Republican Party down there. And you're right. And it's sad to say, but this is part of the reality of the political situation and climate we have right now. And that is why 51% of the population will not get the vaccine or have yet to get the vaccine. It's just too political, and people don't know what to think about it.
Well, because the government cannot be trusted, because they've proven that. And I'm not talking Republican versus Democrat. I'm talking about these power-hungry so-called experts who change their mind without any data. As I asserted, this must be a Stop Stearns movement, because you're going hot and heavy on a book tour, and Joe Biden doesn't want you talking to people. That's what this comes down to.
Well, look, it's just going to take a lot more than that to stop the biscuit book tour. I can tell you that much, Jeff. And we're expecting a big crowd today in Hendersonville. Well, I mean, it was just such a fun crowd yesterday in Gainesville. And a lot of the folks asking where Grace was, and we're going to have to bring Grace out with us on the next leg of this. But Avery was there, and more than once, Avery got his cheeks fenced by some of the elderly ladies who were in line, and they were trying to feed this. They were trying to feed the poor kid.
Well, you know, you're sickly, you're thin, you need to eat. I mean, apparently he's not reading the recipes in the book.
Well, one of the ladies got on to me. She says, she pulled me aside. She says, "You're just riding Avery too hard. You need to be more gentle. Be more encouraging."
Well, how was Avery's grandmother when she came to the stop? All right, now I want to be real linear about this, because I jumped way ahead to tomorrow. But where are you going to be from today through tomorrow? Let's walk the audience through that if we could.
So this afternoon, I'm going to be co-hosting, I think, the afternoon show on WHKP. I get to do traffic and weather. That was part of the contractual agreement. We're going to be signing books, I believe, from 3 until 5 o'clock or until the last person in line gets their book signed. They're at the broadcast house at WHKP in Bill. And then later tonight, we have another gathering, which I believe is an invitation event with the 11th Congressional District. But we want everybody to come out, say hello over at the broadcast house in Hendersonville. We're going to have a lot of fun this afternoon.
Let's close with this, because I know you need to get going and do things. We could talk all day about what's wrong with America, sadly, but I'm asserting that this is a big city versus the rest of America situation. As you're out and about on the road and as you connect with people, is that the best way to describe it? Because I talk to people in big cities, they cannot believe that we have any modicum of freedom. And the people that you're running into, as you just said, and the people I see every day, they can't understand what these fools in big cities are talking about by, you know, hiding under rocks and hiding in closets.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to that, Jeff. And we've certainly seen that out here on the road. But honestly, in the southern states, and we've had a couple of major cities, Birmingham, Atlanta, and Greenville, we are not seeing people wearing the masks. We're not seeing people bothered about social distancing or all that kind of stuff. People are just living their lives. So I think this might even be a more of a case of the urban cities that are controlled by liberal Democrats, I mean far-left Democrats. I think that's what we may be dealing with here.
I don't think there's any doubt. I mentioned this to you in an email exchange, but the large newspaper in Iowa sponsors a bicycle ride across the state of Iowa. It has gone on since the late 70s. 20,000 people ride their bicycles in a path across the state. It's one of the just a tremendous hometown type thing. And so I had 15 to 20,000 of my closest friends riding bicycles right in front of my radio station the other day. And I was talking to a radio host in the Twin Cities who's a friend. I try to talk to him once a week on the air to straighten him out. But in any case, he was concerned about, well, how did they mask? How did they socially distance? They didn't. They were human beings having human interaction. It's a foreign concept, Todd, to some of these people in these liberal big cities.
Jeff, I truly believe that if the federal government, if Joe Biden came out today and said every American has to wear a face mask, a face shield, and a hazmat suit, and they have to get a vaccination shot every single day, they would do it. There are millions of our fellow countrymen who would do that just for the sake of feeling safe.
Despite the fact that there is no evidence to show that you would be safe other than a politician told you so, and if that's our level of discourse, just because a politician of any stripe told us so, we're in a world of hurt, my friend. We need our daily biscuit.
we do indeed, my friend. I don't have my Patriot Mobile, so we might lose the signal going through the mountains here.
All right.
So tell everybody there we said hello, and look, now, folks. I hear the calls are going great, and the guests, you've got some great guests. It's going to be a fun show.
Stay safe. Travel well, sir. God bless. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Todd Starnes, the host of this very radio program, calling in from the road, making his way on the Our Daily Biscuit Express book tour. And if you're not near one of these places where Todd will be, here, I'll let you in on a little secret. You may not be aware, but you can buy the book at toddstarnes.com. You can. I think you can even get an autographed copy. Or two. They make great gifts. Go to toddstarnes.com, and the book is Our Daily Biscuit. As we're talking there, this everything Mr. Starnes just said, I think, supported what I was rambling on about in the first half hour. The concept that for most of us, we're living our lives, and government is irrelevant. But when government gets in the way, that's when we say, okay, that's far enough. We were willing to go along with it at the start. We know better now, and it's time for Americans to demonstrate freedom. I want to, before we go to break, and I do hope you'll call in yet this hour at 844-747-8868. The president spoke yesterday, and he said something along this line. It's an American blessing that we have vaccines for each and every American. Direct quote now, it's a shame to squander that blessing. Yes, it is indeed a blessing that your predecessor took the actions necessary so that we would have a vaccine in record-breaking time. Not perfect, and not for everyone, but a vaccine in record-breaking time. He says it's a shame to squander the blessing. Mr. President, do you know what another blessing is? It's called freedom and liberty. That is another blessing. And if there is anything that it is a shame to squander, it is American freedom and liberty. We'll take your calls when we return in a moment. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Great to hear from him just now. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
I've noticed when I go to the shopping mall and buy one of the towels, they just don't seem to work very well. They feel too soft and too lotion-y. They just don't absorb the water. Well, our good friend Mike Lindell over at MyPillow has found a solution, and you've got to get yourself one of his brand new towels. These things are incredible, and best of all, they're made right here in the U.S., and all of his towels come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. You're going to be able to get a six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths, all made with USA cotton. They are soft yet absorbent, and you're normally going to pay over $100, but thanks to our good friend Mike Lindell, $39.99. That's it. It's a great deal. All you have to do, go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNS, or you can call 800-839-8506 for some incredible radio specials. Again, MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Streaming live at toddstarnes.com. And, of course, you can follow Todd on Facebook and Twitter at Todd Starnes. And you can see some photos from the book tour if you follow Todd on Instagram at Todd Starnes FNC. The front page of the New York Post newspaper today, very interesting. Huge headline, insanity. And in New York, that could be about anything. But they had a grid on the front page. I'm going to try to describe it to you, but it's available online at their website, which is nypost.com. They have a grid of squares, and the squares represent 161 million vaxxed, as they call it, U.S. residents. And then in one little corner of one box, they point out 5,601 people. Now I'm going to say that again. 5,601 out of 161 million caught breakthrough COVID after being vaccinated and were hospitalized. And of that number, 1,141 died. That's 0.0007%. And it is apparently on that sort of data, quote unquote, that we're going to change the policy on masks. If you think that makes sense, well, then I'd like to talk to you. I don't think Cheryl thinks that it makes sense. She's calling in from Georgia, listening on the great WDUN. Cheryl, thanks for calling in to the Todd Stern Show. Jeff Stein filling in. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I was just listening to the radio. I listen to you folks every day and love it.
Thank you.
I really think that they're going to be coming door to door and demanding that we wear masks and get the vaccines. And if people knew what were inside of vaccines, they'd maybe think twice about having them. Anyway, I think this is getting way out of hand, and we're going to be losing our freedoms.
Do you think, Cheryl, that's the end goal, that what they're trying to do is just engage in control and get certain? And why do you think that?
Yes.
I mean, why do you think that? I mean, because it seems so un-American. I guess that's my question. Why do you think they would be so un-American?
Because they hate America.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. I just see more and more of our freedoms being taken away where, you know, I look back at the past. Look how many people died with the flu in 2018 before the COVID. Just mm-hmm. look up those numbers
mm-hmm.
and compare them. I mean, we have flus all the time. I worked in a school system. I've had my pants and shoes thrown up on. I've been around little kids with the flus and the colds. And I'm still here. And it's just a part of life. And I think this whole virus thing is being blown way out of control. And it's
there's a way
to scare the people.
I'm sorry for jumping on you. Yeah, well, they're trying to scare people, but it's not working very well. But this is the other thing. If that's how you have to live life, is it worth living, being scared? I don't think so. I don't think Cheryl does either. Thanks for calling in from Georgia. And thanks to everybody down there for supporting Todd at the book signing yesterday. That's wonderful. We're going to talk a little bit more about this COVID stuff in the next hour. And if you're able to join us, we appreciate it. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thank you so much for listening to this hour of the Todd Starn Show.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening, across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to this hour of the Todd Starnes radio program, coast to coast on 100-plus excellent freedom-loving radio stations from one end of this nation to the other, and, of course, streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today, coming to you from my home base at the 50,000-watt blowtorch, scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable news. That's News Talk 1540 KXEL, right in the heart of Iowa. I was just distracted for a moment because I couldn't even get the slogan of my station out just now. Did you notice that? It's accurate news and reasonable views. But Todd Starnes is on the road today. Everything's fine. He's on the book tour. If you've been listening, you know that this is another stop in the book tour. He's going to be in the studios of WHKP in Hendersonville, North Carolina, from 3 until 5 today. I'm not sure what has gotten me just a little more thrown here, and Grace and Kyle at Team Starnes in Memphis can weigh in later, but is it the fact that Todd's going to be doing the book signing, sitting at a table where Ronald Reagan sat some 60 years ago, or the fact that there's going to be free ice cream and Chick-fil-A treats? I'm not sure which one of those is most impressive, but we'll put that aside and come back to it in just a little bit. Also, Bill, stay on the line. I'll get to you in just a few moments. The number is 844-747-8868. But let's start this hour off by going right now live to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Dr. Wendy Patrick is an attorney, an author, a news commentator. You see her all over on various good cable news channels, and she has columns all over as well. Wendy Patrick, Ph.D. is her website. Follow her on Twitter at Wendy Patrick, Ph.D. Dr. Wendy Patrick, thanks for taking the time. Good to talk to you. How are you?
Hey, it's always a pleasure, and I love that choice regarding the ice cream and the Chick-fil-A. I don't know. That's a pretty tempting offer.
Look at that. You even bypassed the Reagan table, went right for the the ice cream and the Chick-fil-A. I wanted
can I
to
have
talk.
Both? I'd probably do both.
Well, yeah. I don't think it's exclusive. There's also something from Hot Dog World. I'm not sure what that is, but how can that be bad? Well, in any event, that's Hendersonville, North Carolina, 3 o'clock local time today. Right now, I wanted to talk to you about vaccination mandates. And this is where the conversation got a little curious for me. You're a practicing attorney, a career prosecutor. I'm a licensed attorney. So I'm looking at this through that lens. And I see on one of the formerly mainstream TV networks, they're doing an interview over the weekend with an attorney who says there's no question, absolutely, employers can require you to be vaccinated. And then I moved over to Newsmax, and there was an attorney who said that's not at all settled because this is an experimental vaccine. And then the president yesterday said the Department of Justice says absolutely they can be mandated. All right, let's talk facts. Can an employer actually require me or you to get vaccinated?
Yeah, it's a qualified yes, but it's that qualified portion that provides so much wiggle room. So a couple of factors that any employer is going to take into consideration. Now, the obvious ones, where do you work? Who do you work for? Is it private? Is it government? Do you work as a dental hygienist or at a digital help desk? Obviously, in the latter situation, you'd be hard-pressed to say that it's at all dangerous if you don't get vaccinated because you never come anywhere near to a member of the public. But having said that, it's also true that employers also have a duty to provide a safe workplace. I don't think that the big dispute, and I know we get lost in the mix, or at least the non-lawyers among us do, they sort of get lost in the mix of emotions surrounding this issue to begin with. But it seems like the more relevant question is, if you cannot mandate a vaccine, if you're going to recognize exceptions, religious exemptions, medicalism, if nobody disputes you can recognize those, you have to have a workable alternative. So it's that reasonable accommodations piece that is becoming so contentious. I'll give you a great example. Many workplaces are saying, you know, we used to say masked or vaxxed. Boy, say that 10 times fast. Joe Biden used to say that. That used to be what the president said. We've moved from that to vaxxed or tested up to once a week. So the big question that employees want to know is, who pays for that? You can imagine nobody likes getting it done. You have to do the swab up your nose. Nobody likes it. But if you are going to say that's a reasonable accommodation, it's a workaround, it's a way that you can go back to the workplace with everybody else, is that on your dime? Is it, you know, every 2 days? Is it twice a week, like they were saying they might do for the military? So it seems to be more the argument, both legally and anecdotally, is around how do you get out from under these mandates, because they appear to be not only catching fire as a practical matter, but also legally.
So there's a distinction. I remember looking back last fall, before we actually had the vaccine, in fact, and I was talking to some employment lawyers who follow the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission standards, et cetera. And there was the thought that, well, as you just quite accurately noted, if there is a reason because you are in certain fields, maybe it's healthcare, it's contact with the public, et cetera, maybe sorta, there could be based on precedent. Does the fact that this is still a quote unquote experimental vaccine, does that make a legal distinction, do you think?
Do I think? Yes. However, I've been disillusioned at looking at the way some rulings and arguments have come down, basically eliminating that distinction. So remember, Jeff, you and I talked about this right at the beginning, where some restaurants and concert halls were saying no shoes, no shot, no service. We remember that. That's different, though.
Sure.
That's, you know, you talked about going out someplace. When you are going to make somebody choose between health and wealth, and they are saying, why shouldn't I be able to have both? Then the fact that this is an experimental vaccine that is only emergency authorized for experimental use by the FDA and not fully approved, that's a distinction with a difference. But we have seen universities across the nation eliminate that distinction. And I mean, within a couple of days. I mean, Monday they said you're either going to have to be vaccinated come fall semester if this is emergency use authorized,
or we're going to wait till the FDA approves it for all purposes. Within several days, that distinction was eliminated in many places, and that trend has continued throughout workplaces across the nation. It is alarming at the alacrity with which these rules change almost on a dime and without corresponding developments in science. So, Jeff, that is why so many employees really just, they don't know what to do, and they're trying to try to figure out how to get out in front of this when almost every day that we turn on the news, the mandates, the messaging has changed.
Dr. Wendy Patrick joining us live on the Todd Starnes radio program. WendyPatrickPhD.com is her website. Red Flags, the most recent book that she's authored. You can learn more about that there as well. The thing that I find so challenging is the utter lack of science to back up the changes that are made. When they decided, well, you don't have to wear masks. That really was not based on science at that time. And there's no indication that all the changes this week are really based on anything other than politics. Is that potentially something that you can use? If, let's say, and I'll tell you, I got an email from a listener to my station who said, you know, my spouse has been in the healthcare field for decades. She didn't get the shot. She's told she's going to have to get the shot or she's going to get fired. That's heartbreaking stuff because this is obviously somebody who knows enough and it's just not right for them. Is it potentially a meritorious defense to say this rule has no science behind it?
Well, I think that to say a rule has no science behind it, we would probably say what you and I would say, Jeff, prove it. And that's what we've been saying since the beginning. You have to wear a mask or you're going to get COVID. Prove it. And if you can't, if you're just going to quote a politician, well, then that's not reason to change laws or change mandates or take somebody's job away. I would also ask your listener whether or not his wife applied for a medical exemption, because those exist. There has not been any argument made that suddenly we're going to change the protections that disabled Americans enjoy, that people that exercise their religion enjoy. We've not changed a thing when it comes to the availability of those exceptions. What we've changed is what kind of a complicated workaround is required, but that's between each person and their employer. But to not require science behind these changes is problematic on so many levels. And I have to say, Jeff, both the left and the right have raised this argument. Isn't it nice sometimes when you have sort of a bipartisan argument that's being raised for different reasons? Both the left and the right have begun to say, prove it. We've heard that just this morning about this Indian study regarding the Delta variant and how contagious it is. But more and more Americans, including our listeners here, are saying, I'm not just going to take your word for it. I'm not going to read a tweet and say, oh, now I understand. If you can, and Google has really come a long way since you and I were in law school, it is just too easy to gain the information you need to know to make an informed decision for yourself, for your family, for your employment situation. That, I think, is what more Americans are saying, is don't just tell me. Show me the science that backs up the changes that you're asking me to make.
One of the difficult things, again, with that same prove it or show me, is the fact that, well, I'm not sure how much of it has to do with a change in the White House, per se. I think it is the folks who, I want to say, are careerists, if you will. And I gave a lot of grace early on about, okay, this is new. We're just trying to get used to it. My personal sense is that there are just too many people with motives. You've now got one of the pharmaceutical companies saying, you know, we may just need a booster, and oh, by the way, that's going to make us another gazillion dollars. I mean, that's the kind of thing that's just really, it's really tough as you try to make a decision as an individual.
I know, and everybody's become so skeptical, or at least most people have, and I think more people probably should be a little bit skeptical when you hear claims like that, or you hear so many flip-flops over the course of just a few months, and then we're expected to make these major medical decisions based on science that's been like shifting sand for the last 18 months that we've been talking about this. So it is fair to question motive, and I think a lot of people are beginning to wonder whether
the fact that we have only a few vaccines, when remember other countries actually have dead viruses. Those are traditional vaccines, like Russia's Sputnik vaccine is often used as an example of that, of all things. But, you know, we do have to question motive when there are so many other treatments out there, even preventative measures and prophylactics that aren't getting the attention that many patients think they deserve, because they're alternatives to risking, especially if you have an underlying medical condition, taking a vaccine before it's been FDA approved.
So here's our exit point, if you will, in our remaining 60 seconds or so. It's not settled as much as the government may want us to believe. It is not as unsettled as some others may lead us to believe. This is just going to be another legal bonanza, isn't it? I mean, there's going to have to be somebody who challenges a rule in court to actually determine this, isn't it? I mean, it's the way it is with most things, I suppose.
It's true. And, you know, we have seen several decisions coming down on both sides of this issue, largely surrounding the back to school aspect of it, because that really has some relevance. But I have to say, Jeff, you know me, I always talk about the silver lining. You know what it really shows? We're all in this together. We are all the same. We're all vulnerable. We all catch disease the same. We care about each other. We care about staying safe. And if nothing else, if we could learn to work together and compassionately continue this discussion as you and I are doing, we would probably be a lot quicker on the road to recovery.
Yeah, but that doesn't fit the narrative, Wendy. You know that, right?
I know. That's why I began it by saying I'm the ultimate optimist.
If we're going to have an actual smart conversation devoid of all, that's just not going to happen. We can't do that. Dr. Wendy Patrick, she is the host of a radio program Saturday nights on The Answer in San Diego, 6 o'clock local time. You can also find her at wendypatrickphd.com. Thank you so much for the insight. I always enjoy the conversation.
Always a pleasure, Jeff. Have a great day.
You do the same. Dr. Wendy Patrick, attorney and news analyst, joining us here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, and we'd love to talk to you about any or all of this or whatever is on your mind. It's 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to speak with Jay Green of the Heritage Foundation. I am going to enjoy this conversation. There's a new report where, believe it or not, well, you will believe it, Starnes Nation, there are more people who are hired at universities to worry about diversity than there are to teach real-life history. And as somebody who taught college students for 25 years, I'm going to love talking about this. Talk to you in a minute. Take a break now. Jeff Stein in for Todd Starnes. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
That is wheelhouse music from my college days. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd just a short time before the bottom of the hour. So let's see if we can get our phone call in from Chris listening to the Mighty 990, the flagship KWAM. Chris is in Collierville, Tennessee. Thanks for calling the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Jeff Stein. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing fine, Mr. Stein. Thank you for taking my call. I'll make this very quickly. I loved your last interview, and so I started doing a little research, and you were talking about motive. The pharmaceutical companies just settled a $26 billion lawsuit for flooding the market with opioids and the opioid crisis. So I looked up Pfizer's projected revenue to bring in off of the vaccines. Oh, my gosh, on a pharmaceutical website, it said Pfizer's going to make $26 billion. Is that why we're pushing the issue? And let me say this also, Mr. Stein. If someone shows up at my house and wants to stick me with a needle, okay, first of all, no, you're not doing it. Because remember, we've had psycho nurses and psycho health people who have purposely killed patients. I'm not going to let somebody just show up at my door. I don't know what they have in that needle. I have no idea. So, no, you're not sticking me in the arm at my house. Get out of my face. But anyways, I thank you for taking my call.
I thank you, Chris, for listening. What a smart comment about the pharmaceuticals and the pharmaceutical industry. In this respect, I absolutely applaud the fact that under President Trump, Operation Warp Speed got us multiple vaccines available. I absolutely did not like the fact that they played politics with that until after the election in terms of announcing that they had it, because had they announced it, well, then he would have been proven right and they couldn't have had that. But there's a financial motive here. And I don't care when people say, well, the government's paying for it. Who funds the government? I mean, I may not be writing a check for it directly, but I pay plenty, thank you very much, to Uncle Sam every year. So when you have these pharmaceutical companies saying, you know, it might be better if we did have a third vaccine in the protocol and then a fourth, and, you know, if I still have a boat payment to make a fifth, just question it. That's all I'm saying. We're getting out of the habit of asking questions in this country. We need to ask more. Stay tuned. Back after the bottom of the hour break. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show. (844) 747-8868 is the number where you can join this coast-to-coast conversation. So you knew this was going to happen. Walmart, the nation's largest retailer and private employer, has reversed its mask policy, bowing down to the folks who sell cloth masks for a living. Wait a minute, they do. Walmart has reversed its mask policy. It will now require all workers, even including vaccinated ones, if you're in a high infection area, mask them if you got them. And again, how convenient that when I have gone to my local Walmart, they have an ample supply of masks that I can purchase. I'm just saying. Joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Jay Green. Mr. Green is a well-known education policy analyst. He is a senior research fellow in the Education Policy Division of the Heritage Foundation. Dr. Green, thanks so much for taking time to join the Todd Starnes radio program. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you today, sir?
Great. Thanks for having me on the show.
So as someone who taught college students at private and public universities, large and small, for 25 years, I find this report that came out from the Heritage Foundation just tremendously interesting. Talk about the diversity bloat, the administrative bloat that has happened in our institutions of higher learning these days.
Sure. We wanted to find out just how many people are working at universities with the purpose of promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion goals. And so we went to look at the websites of 65 universities and counted the number of people listed on their websites as having this diversity mission as part of their job responsibility. And the average institution had 45 people with that job description. And this is, you know, to put in perspective how big that is, at virtually every institution was more people than they had teaching history as professors. It's actually many times more than they have people in, designed to ensure that they provide services for students with disabilities. So it's a very big effort. At some places, it's much bigger than others. For example, at the University of Michigan, they have 163 people with titles that are devoted to promoting diversity goals.
Is that just the current buzzword and the trend? Because you know you're going to get donations, you're going to get federal grants. And I think, Dr. Green, back to when we started calling everything studies, right? It had to be women's studies. It had to be global studies. If you put studies in the title, then that was now the cool thing. It's really much deeper than just nomenclature, isn't it?
It is. It is. And by the way, we did not count faculty in the various ethnic and gender studies departments. We were only counting staff and administrators. So people with titles like Vice Chancellor for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, Associate Vice Chancellor for Access and Equity. These are actual titles, by the way, from the University of Illinois. And each of these people with these very important titles, they have assistants and other people as support staff around them, which is what creates this very large bureaucracy. It not only does it consume a lot of resources, but I think what it does is it shifts the focus of the university away from other goals, like, let's say, teaching history, towards this very particular goal of advancing a narrow political agenda that is called diversity.
Well, as someone who not only loves history, but has written a number of books on history, that really does concern me. In essence, what they're trying to do is create the new history, I suppose, with this diversity agenda. As you talk about this, as you look at the Heritage Foundation report, it's really an imbalance or an undue emphasis on what is the trendy thing, correct? I mean, when you're not even helping students with disabilities, and you've got the White House celebrating the anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act in the past week.
Right. I mean, it is the trendy thing, and there is nothing wrong with universities trying to be welcoming and inclusive. I think that's a very legitimate thing for them to try to do. We actually looked at evidence from student surveys at these universities to see if places with larger diversity staff had students who felt more welcomed and included. And in fact, we found in general the opposite. Places with bigger diversity staff, actually students seem to have less positive reports of the campus climate. And so that suggests that they're not really there to be welcoming and inclusive, but that to the extent that they're doing anything other than building kind of patronage bureaucracies, that they're actually promoting exclusive and non-welcoming agendas.
There really is the hypocritical inconsistency where they claim to be, and I'm reading now from, as I understand it, the University of Michigan's that you talked about. They want a culture of belonging in which every member of our community can grow and thrive. But yet by having all of this emphasis and in-your-face militancy on the topic, it's really leading to the exact opposite, isn't it?
Well, yeah, again, I mean, I think it's the nature of how they do it. There's nothing wrong with trying to be welcoming and inclusive.
Of course.
But they only prioritize certain ethnicities, certain definitions of what gender and sexuality mean, and they are not welcoming to other visions of those things. And so in the end, they're actually being exclusive rather than inclusive.
Dr. Jay Green of the Heritage Foundation joining us on the National Todd Starn Show. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Has this been an explosion or a creep? And I say that because your background was at the University of Arkansas. So you saw this sort of thing going on around you. I saw it when I was in the classroom. I have not been in the college classroom now for 5 or 6 years. But this sort of thing has been coming on. Is it an explosion to this, or was this something that perhaps we just saw going down the road and didn't realize how big it would get?
Well, I think it's actually been growing gradually for a very long time and then recently growing rapidly. So this does date back to the 60s and 70s and was growing slowly for quite some time. And then in the last few years, I think it's accelerated that growth. And some of it is political symbolism. That is, universities are attempting to appease different political constituencies that are demanding things from them. And so one of the ways they know to try to satisfy those political complaints is to hire people with important-sounding titles who are devoted to that thing that people are upset about. It doesn't mean that that thing improves. It just means that they're devoting resources to it. I actually suspect that if universities were to devote the same funds towards increasing scholarships, they could actually help produce more diverse student bodies by reducing their cost rather than by hiring more people with important sounding titles.
I only laugh because, again, having worked in the industry, and it became an industry, education, higher education became an industry, the idea of wonderful sounding titles. But this also comes from having written grants over time, and so I'm kind of neck deep in that as well. All right, so for the audience's benefit, what's the response? What's the way out? What is it other than, I mean, obviously knowledge, we need that, but what can people who are listening actually do when they hear this kind of thing going on?
Sure. So most of these institutions are public universities that we looked at. And as public universities, they are overseen by the state legislature, as well as by a public board of trustees. And also parents and students are tuition payers. And I think it's time for the people paying the bills at these universities, the people in the state legislature, the tuition payers who are students and parents, to demand that the boards of trustees investigate the extent to which they're devoting resources to diversity staff and whether those uses of resources are efficient. Might they be able to achieve these legitimate goals with smaller staffs? And might they also design these staffs in a way where they're actually more effective at being welcoming and inclusive while they're failing to do so now? So I think really there's accountability in the Board of Trustees and in the state legislature, both of which have oversight function for making sure that universities use their resources effectively.
And as you note, quite obviously, it's tuition dollars, right? I mean, if you are a young person and doesn't like this, and I know this is easier said than done, go find another college. If you're a parent, you might say, you know, I'm not going to financially support this kind of thing, because that appears to be what many of these folks at these colleges and universities, they spend a lot of time worrying about dollars and cents. Well, probably not cents, but dollars. That might have the biggest impact, yeah?
I agree, although, again, it's hard to escape. So consumers don't have a lot of alternatives to finding public universities that don't have significant diversity staffs. Yeah. And so there aren't a lot of options out there. I think another thing that people can do is lobby congressional representatives who provide lots of subsidy to higher education, and that subsidy indulges this type of waste.
If people listening want to get more data, learn more, read the report or the executive summary, where might they go online, sir?
Sure. So it's on the heritage.org website. There's a copy of the report there. And then there's also a great data visualization. So you can look up each of the 65 universities, see what the results are for each one, see how it ranks relative to others. And that's at datavisualizations.heritage.org.
Datavisualizations.heritage.org. I will be seeing how the Big Ten university I graduated from weighed in on this whole thing. Dr. Green, thank you so much for taking the time.
Was it?
University of Iowa. University of Iowa. Yeah. So how'd we do? I don't think we did well, did we?
Let's see here. We can look it up.
Because I think... Yeah, it's the People's Republic of Johnson County, Iowa City, Iowa, and I have a feeling that they are about as woke as woke can be these days.
You're right. They're on the high end. They have 59 diversity personnel. That's 8.4 times as many people as they have devoted to disabilities. It's 4.4 diversity staff for every 100 faculty, and it's twice as many DEI staff as history faculty. So it's fairly high.
What a proud alum I am today. I guess, Dr. Green, thank you so much for taking the time. Have an excellent weekend,
you.
Sir.
You
Dr.
Too.
Jay Green.
Bye-bye.
Of the Heritage Foundation, and again, heritage.org. There's a reason why I don't give money to the university where I got 2 degrees. because it's like that now. And that's really the way we fight back on things, right? I mean, for example, just before we talked to Dr. Green, I noted that Walmart now is going to tell its employees they have to wear masks if they're in high infection areas. They are also going to put signs back at the entrances, and they will bring back the health ambassadors, you know, the people who stood at the door and scowled at you if you wouldn't take one of their silly little masks. Well, we have a choice. I don't have to go there. I can get stuff other places. This is how we fight back on such things. All right, let's hear from you. 844-747-8868. 844-747-8868. And coming up in this next hour, just after the top of the hour, we're going to be talking with Ryan Bangert. Mr. Bangert is the Senior Counsel and Vice President of Legal Strategy at the Alliance Defending Freedom. And they have a lawsuit that is really interesting here that is against the Biden administration. And it has to do with colleges. And I would say, I'm not a parent, but I would say to you as parents, are you okay having wide open dormitories and shared shower facilities because of this so-called gender fluidity thing? We're going to talk about that in the next hour. I'll talk to you again about whatever you'd like to talk about. 844-747-8868. Just getting used to talking, I guess. Actually, what I did today, I'll tell you after the break. Why I'm having a hard time talking today. Worse than normal. I'll tell you that after the break. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show. So I just said you should go to commercial break, and I'm told we're having an issue. So guess what? That silence you just heard, that was a moment of contemplation and reflection. And now I'll tell you the story of why I'm not talking very well. So radio is a glamorous profession. I'm sure Team Todd in Memphis would agree. Whether it's Grace and Kyle right there on the front lines today, Avery's feeding wonderful news tips during the program. What a great team that Todd has put together. And I know he values them greatly, as do I on this on the rare occasions I get to fill in. But it's a glamorous profession, so there I was today at home making my peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch. This is what I get. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich. All right, fine. Peanut butter sticks to the knife, right? I mean, this is the idea of peanut butter. It's sticky. So I was going to wash the knife, and I noticed there's a pretty good glob of peanut butter on the knife. Well, you don't want to waste it. Heaven knows, with all the increases in costs in the Biden administration. So what do? Well, you put the knife in your mouth and you lick the knife. And it wasn't a big pointed knife. It's a butter knife. Apparently, my depth perception early this morning was not good, or I didn't have enough coffee because I jammed the knife into my upper lip. And so that's why I'm having a hard time talking today. Things just kind of get in the way. We'll see if it improves after this short break. Call us, please. 844-747-8868. Much to discuss. We'll do it on the other side. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd on this coast-to-coast conversation. Coming to you from my home studio, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Waterloo and Cedar Rapids, Iowa. My program airs weekday mornings right before Todd's, so you can listen to me at KXEL.com if you're so inclined. Listen to Todd on your favorite station. Todd's program is on KXEL, of course, including a best of Sunday nights at 6. And if your station doesn't air all of this, well, politely call and ask why the heck not. Otherwise, just stream the thing at toddstarnes.com. You can follow me, by the way, on Twitter, Instagram, Parler, and Getter at Iowa Politics, IOWA Politics. Coming up in our next hour, we're going to debunk the data on COVID. You are definitely going to want to stay around. Thank you, Todd, for letting me fill in. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Casting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to this hour of the Todd Starnes radio program, coast to coast on more than 100. Patriotic radio stations across this nation and streaming online at toddstarnes.com. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He is making his way through the South on the Our Daily Biscuit book tour on his way to a book signing very shortly in North Carolina. We'll tell you more about that in just a few moments. Same phone number you're used to using. It's 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll get to your calls in the next segment. But now, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And I believe we're being joined by Ryan Bangert, Senior Counsel and Vice President of Legal Strategy at the Alliance Defending Freedom. Find them online at adfmedia.org. Mr. Bangert, thanks for taking time to join us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in. How are you, sir?
Jeff, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
And I did pronounce your name correctly, I hope?
You did.
All right. I did not ask in advance, and I did not want to mess that up. All right. Very important topic here. And this has to do with your client, the College of the Ozarks. Walk us back for those who may not be aware of how this case has proceeded, and then we'll talk about the new developments today.
You bet. College of the Ozarks is a small religious school in southwest Missouri. Been there for over 100 years. It's also called Hard Work U because it provides education to kids who otherwise couldn't afford it by allowing them to work on campus to earn their way through school. And College of the Ozarks is a religious school and holds very orthodox Christian views, typical orthodox Christian views, concerning a number of different issues, including sex and marriage. And as part of those views, College of the Ozarks separates its dorms into biological male and biological female dorms. So they're separated, which is pretty common in religious schools across the country. The Biden administration earlier this year began this project of trying to redefine the civil rights laws by redefining the word sex. Typically, the word sex meant in these civil rights laws, you couldn't discriminate based on biological sex. Title IX is the most famous of these, and Title IX is widely credited with really energizing female sports at the collegiate level in this country. But the Biden administration sees things differently. They believe that sex prohibits discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. And what this means, as it plays itself out, is schools like College of the Ozarks can no longer separate their dorms into male and female dorms. They have to open the female dorms up to men who identify as women. So that's the basic problem that the lawsuit tries to address by going at this Biden administration interpretation of, in this case, the Fair Housing Act.
And again, you've got a situation here where if you had a birth certificate or any other document, there were two genders. You put male, you put female. It was pretty simple as God had intended. Now with this fluidity, there's no standard, is there, in terms of how someone can, quote-unquote, identify with a certain gender in order to, if you will, take advantage of this new policy that is being forced on College of the Ozarks?
That's right. There's nothing in the Biden administration's interpretation that would set a standard for how you figure out whether someone truly is identifying as male or female. You just have to take their word for it. And that's the problem with the way the government did what it did. It was done through the administrative state without notice and comment. The public wasn't given a chance to even weigh in on this change. And that's an act of government overreach that simply has to be stopped. And that's what our lawsuit's about, stopping this government overreach and stopping the government from telling colleges to open their female dorm rooms to males.
How is it that a private faith-based college would have to follow this federal guideline? Is it a tie to, it's not a tie to the Commerce Clause. Is it a tie to them receiving federal funds in some way or what?
It's not, amazingly enough. The Fair Housing Act applies regardless of whether the regulated entity receives federal funds. It applies to private entities that don't receive a penny of federal money. And that's how it applies to College of the Ozarks. Even though College of the Ozarks does take some small amount of federal aid for its students, it really is unique in the way that it funds its education. But all that setting aside, even if College of the Ozarks didn't receive a penny in federal money, they would still be subject to this Fair Housing Act mandate. And the effect of that is that these religious schools like College of the Ozarks are really being punished for their religious beliefs about marriage and biological sex.
Strongest legal argument, and again, as a lawyer, but I haven't litigated this kind of thing for forever, or studied it forever, so I have no good analysis, analytical framework here, but is the strongest argument the First Amendment freedom of religion claim, do you think? Or what are some of the things that a layperson listening right now can point to as the real tent poles that would support College of the Ozarks in this?
Well, so many different arguments, I think, apply here. I mean, the common sense argument that the government shouldn't force young women to share private spaces with men should be enough. But when you move into the law, there are a couple of things that are at play. One, there's a federal law called the Administrative Procedure Act that says when the federal government, when the bureaucrats in the administrative state lay down a new rule, they have to publish that to the public and solicit comment. It's called notice and comment rulemaking. None of that happened here. This new rule was simply pushed out in a memorandum, really in the dead of night, without any opportunity for the public to weigh in. And the results are unsurprising. You end up with this ham-handed rule that doesn't take into account any of the religious freedom, safety, or privacy concerns of female students on campus. So that is front and center, just the most obvious reason why this is invalid. But you also point to religious freedom and really freedom of speech, because the Fair Housing Act prohibits schools like College of the Ozarks from publishing their policies that they separate housing by sex. They can no longer do that under this interpretation of the Fair Housing Act, and that's a violation of the First Amendment freedom of speech.
Mm. So, and we're talking with Ryan Bangert, Senior Counsel and Vice President of Legal Strategy at Alliance Defending Freedom, online adfmedia.org. He's joining us on the Todd Starnes program. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. So as you see this sort of thing happening, it is, I suppose, well, there's a freedom of association issue as well. I mean, there's, as you say, just a myriad of different things. Is this part of a broader strategy to drive private colleges out of business, do you think, so that everyone then is part of a governmental-run education system? Is that too great a leap, I guess, of what I'm saying? That's beyond the legal issue, but is that one of the practical applications or outcomes of this potentially?
Well, certainly one of the practical applications of this is that the government wants everyone to march in lockstep with the current social orthodoxy. And that's the most obvious outplaying of what the Biden administration is doing. It's telling anyone who disagrees with a very radical view of human sexuality, of gender, of sex, of biology, that if you don't agree with our view, then there's no place for you in society. And that's a terrifying thought. And it's something that the First Amendment doesn't countenance, and we shouldn't countenance either.
If people are listening to this program and they are, I was going to say outraged, but at the very least, they are intrigued, shall we say, by this, how can they get involved in terms of following the effort or in terms of helping you with your overall mission?
Well, I think you gave out our website earlier in the program. ADFlegal.org is a great way to engage with us, learn about the cases that we're pursuing, especially College of the Ozarks we're talking about here, and really get involved with ADF. That's a great place to start, ADFlegal.org.
Well, good luck on this. I mean, this, again, is the sort of thing where it may not seem at, I mean, this is an egregious example, but on a lot of these cases, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Banger, but I think there are a lot of people who just ignore this because, well, it's not that big a deal. This isn't that big a deal. Well, cumulatively, it's a huge deal, and then it leads to things like this, right? I mean, this is no time to just kind of slough something off as no big deal.
It's not, especially when the government is laying these requirements down to the administrative state without the public having any chance to weigh in, without Congress even lifting a finger. I mean, this is being done entirely by unelected bureaucrats. It's an act of tremendous government overreach. And the only way for us to stop it is to take them to court.
Mr. Banger, good luck. Continued good luck with the efforts. Thanks for taking time. I appreciate it. Have a good weekend, sir.
Thank you.
Ryan Banger is Senior Counsel and Vice President of Legal Strategy at Alliance Defending Freedom. ADFlegal.org is their main webpage. I gave you ADFmedia.org because that has some press stories, news releases, etc. Anywhere that you can get it, ADFlegal.org. And this is, again, if you're following this in the media, it is the College of the Ozarks versus Biden case. And again, it is just another step toward conformity, at least in their view. 844-747-8868 is how you can reach us here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll speak with Phil Kirpin. Mr. Kirpin is president of American Commitment, and he has become one of the nation's leading data analysts and experts in really ferreting out the COVID information that we get. And he's one of these folks who will take to Twitter and call it out. And I find his insight to be tremendous. And I want to share it with you just after the bottom of the hour. But we'll talk with you, of course, at 844-747-8868 between now and then. Avery pointed out to us some breaking news that came through that had to do with President Trump and his tax returns. I'm just going to say it briefly before we go to break. The Justice Department says that the Treasury Department must give a House committee Donald Trump's tax returns. Raise your hand if you're surprised that the Biden Justice Department is requiring the Treasury Department to make Donald Trump's tax returns available to members of Congress who leak like a sieve. I'll tell you why it really doesn't matter. When we come back, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Hours is just not long enough for this radio program. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. And joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is the host of this program, Todd Starnes. Now, I have written a number of books, and I can tell you that never, ever at a book signing have they served ice cream, Chick-fil-A, and hot dog world treats. But then again, I am not Todd Starnes. What do you have there?
It's pretty spectacular, Jeff. Hello, we just got here to the historic broadcast house here at in Hendersonville, WHKP. And Jeff, what's really cool, aside from the food we're about to chow down on, there was something rather interesting that happened here back in 1960. By the way, the station's celebrating its 75th anniversary. Back in 1960, Ronald Reagan came to town. You might remember, Jeff Stein, that Ronald Reagan was a spokesman for GE.
Yes.
And one of the largest GE plants in America is right here in Hendersonville. And so they interviewed Ronald Reagan here at the broadcast house back in 1960. And, Jeff, we are actually going to be signing books on the very same table that Ronald Reagan used back in 1960. And we just sent Grace some pictures of it. It's pretty awesome.
I noticed after you mentioned you were going to be there when you joined us in the first hour, I went online and I see a picture of it on the WHKP website. And I could not decide if it was cooler that you were going to be sitting at the table where Reagan sat or that there was going to be all of those nice treats. That would have been a poll question today. Heritage station and a huge part of a wonderful community.
It really is. And they actually have incredible historic radios and radio equipment, sort of like a working museum. So mm-hmm. not only are they broadcasting on the AM and FM dial, but they're also, you can come in and see all this really amazing, this amazing equipment, old school radios from actually the 1920s and 30s. It's pretty, Jeff, you would love it here.
Well, the sad part is whenever I look at something like that, I realize I'm probably still using some of that equipment here today, but that's another conversation for another time. So give us the details again, if you would, please, for folks who are anywhere near Hendersonville, North Carolina. Where do they go, and when are you going to be there when you're not doing traffic and weather together on the station?
So everybody knows where the broadcast house is. There's a massive jumbotron outside with my face on it. Don't be scared off by that. Come on in. And people are already showing up. As a matter of fact, some guy just came and said, I hear you're going to Hot Dog Town. And he came by and he actually wrote down the order. He said, this is all you need to order. And he wrote it down for me.
Again, your cardiologist is not listening to the program today, right?
This could be a tragic trip for my health. I will tell you that. somebody from the Billy Graham library sent me a note. They said, how are we supposed to top a plate of hot biscuits? I said, salad, lots of salad.
And low-fat dressing, please, light on the croutons and everything else. What a great sense of... Go ahead.
I was going to share this with you. So I'm literally standing in front of something from the 1920s. It's a custom broadcast receiver. This is basically like from the 1920s. It's a portable Radiola 2 from RCA, 1923 vintage. It's basically, what they would consider to be, earbuds back in the day. This is unbelievable, the old school radio stuff they have here.
So that is at WHKP, the legendary broadcast house, and that is in Hendersonville, North Carolina, 3 until 5 today local time. So you've got people coming in saying, trust me, I go to Hot Dog World, this is what you order. That is outstanding. Tomorrow, Billy Graham Library, what are the details there for folks in that neck of the woods?
Well, that's right, 10:30 tomorrow, the book signing at the Billy Graham Library, and we're going to be there for, for about an hour or so signing books. My co-author, Michelle Cox, is also going to be there. She lives in this part of the country, and so we'll be coming down, and we're both looking forward to signing books and just having a good time visiting with folks there at the library.
I thought I had seen somewhere she was going to join you with at that. That's wonderful. And, of course, President Reagan, longtime radio broadcaster in my home state of Iowa. That's where he got the launch pad to national prominence. Enjoy it, my friend. Thank you so much for checking in. And a little light on the Hot Dog World, okay?
I'll do my best. By the way, the folks here wanted again, where are Grace and Avery?
Well, Grace and Avery have to... Yeah, well, who's really important, right? Well, nobody's asking for Stein, but I'll still be here after this next break. Thank you, Todd. Jeff Stein filling in for TS. This is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program, Coast to Coast. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. Joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Phil Kirpin. Mr. Kirpin is president of American Commitment. They're online at americancommitment.org. And you can follow him on the Twitter machine at Kerpen, K-E-R-P-E-N. Phil Kerpen, thanks for taking time to join us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein talking to you from Iowa. How are you today?
Hey, Jeff, I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. And I want to tell the audience, Phil Kerpen has been on my program in Iowa, which actually is on the air just before Todd's live program at KXEL.com. And I have found him, especially in the last year and a half, to be such a great resource with regard to cutting through the clutter and the bull squat on some of this data. And you had some posts last night on Twitter that really took some of these numbers and broke things down into trying to answer why all of a sudden the government said everybody has to mask up again unless they bought stock in the companies that make masks. So try to give us some accurate information, Phil, if you would, with regard to what, if anything, changed.
Well, not much substantively or factually changed. Obviously, the CDC recommendation did.
Yeah.
And so the liberal areas of the country are bringing back mask orders. Here in Washington, D.C., we've got a remask order effective 5 a.m. tomorrow, and we still don't even know the details of it because the mayor official document says you have to follow whatever the Department of Health's new guidance is, and that is still not published anywhere. And so they clearly are scrambling to sort of do this on the fly. The leak that went to the Washington Post of the slide deck that supposedly explains the secret rationale behind why they're doing this, kind of shows how unjustified it is, because it's based on a model run. And I think most of us have had more of models than we ever wanted for a lifetime over the last year and a half, but it's based on a model run, all of whose assumptions are like totally indefensible. So they're like, well, if we assume an R number of 5, which is crazy, it's twice what we've seen anywhere, and if we assume that 5 to 35% of people have previous infection, even though we know it's over 40%, and if we assume that masks are 40 to 60% effective for outbound transmission and 20 to 30% for inbound, when we know it's more like 0 to 1% in reality, then the model says you should mask. Well, yeah, okay, if you assume those things, then yes, masking would make sense. But since none of those things are true, this is like a ridiculous exercise. And yet that is what they apparently did.
Even in the, if you view the data most favorably toward being cautious, this is way out of proportion to data. Is that correct? In terms of disease outcomes per 100,000 in groups, age groups younger than 65? I mean, it's an overreaction, is it not, based on data?
Well, I think the whole thing has been an overreaction from the beginning, outside of people who are old or very obese or immune compromised. It's just never been a very deadly virus. And, of course, it is very deadly for people of an advanced age or with a very high BMI. But we now have the vaccine, which is a big game changer. It's about a 90% reduction in death risk for the people in the high-risk categories. And so it's functionally the equivalent of shaving 20 to 30 years off your age in terms of that steep age curve. And so, you know, there's a reason that almost all the seniors in this country got the vaccine, because they act in their own interest. They don't need to be bullied into it or bribed or given, other inducements. They do it because it makes sense for them. And yet, from a policy standpoint, we seem to say we're going to punish society until people who are already very low risk go and take the vaccine, even though, you know, it's not necessarily rational for them to do so. And so I think that's where the disconnect is. It's not that it's undangerous in general. It's that it's dangerous for a pretty well-defined group of people, and we've known that from the beginning.
Phil Kerpen of American Commitment joining us on the Todd Starnes program. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. So again, there was this slide deck, PowerPoint, whatever you want to call it, that was leaked to friendly media outlets, and you and others have gone through it. That's supposedly the trigger for new mask mandates and just basically shutting everything down again. But there's no actual evidence in there, is there, that would lead you to this? It's, as you say, assumptions that are flawed at a whole level, number of levels?
Yeah, it's basically a model run, and the parameters that they use to run the model are not based in reality. And the data that they have in there actually, if anything, supports the opposite conclusion. The data supports the conclusion that the vaccines are good but not great at stopping transmission. So you're still going to have a lot of transmission even if everyone's vaccinated. But they're pretty great at stopping severe disease and death. And so if that's the situation, which it certainly looks like that's the situation, what does that mean? It means that pretty much everybody who hasn't already been exposed to this virus is going to be at some point. It doesn't mean you can stop it with a mask. It means it's going to get around to pretty much, you know, nearly everyone. And the question is, you know, if you're in a high-risk group, do you want to have the vaccine before you get the virus? I would say yes. But instead of just being honest and saying that to the public, they are they had this panic response because they had overpromised on what the vaccine could do in terms of transmission, and now they're going back to the masks, which you know, I'd find ridiculous. But that seems to be a panic response to them kind of discovering that they overpromised on the transmission effects from the vaccine.
Well, and it also seems to be a public reaction thing because people didn't want to wear masks, so then we didn't have to wear masks, and now we're getting near school, and the teachers' union doesn't want to have to go back to work, so now all of a sudden things are worse. I mean, it almost seems that...
Isn't it amazing how the timing of that works with the school year coming up, and it's the exact same timing as last year when they panicked, and, you know, this is one of the shames about this virus. It really, you know, the virus has this sort of double season. It has this summer season and this winter season, and that's pretty unusual for a respiratory virus. Usually you just get a single season, and unfortunately, the sort of summer season gives the perfect political pretext for, you know, backsliding on moving away from these restrictions, and it kind of hands a gift to the teachers' unions, to your point, who enjoy doing it from the couch, a lot of them, as opposed to going into work.
Phil Kirpin of American Commitment joining us on the Todd Snarn Show. Their website is americancommitment.org. What concerns do you have, and we've talked about this on my program previously, what concerns do you have about this becoming a domino effect that could further cripple the economy unnecessarily?
Well, I'm very worried because when you're going to the well of things that we tried last year and didn't work, it's a pretty short step from going to the mask mandates back to the lockdowns and the business restrictions, capacity restraints, and so forth. And if we go in that direction, it's going to be really bad again, especially because the blue states haven't even really pulled fully out of the last time. And, you know, that, of course, will not just be it won't just be hard economic times in the places that do those things, but it'll be used as a pretext for another massive raid on the U.S. Treasury and more massive spending that we all pay for in higher prices. And so... I think it's a bad omen that they're already going back to the mask. It means they haven't learned the lesson that the masks were ineffective, and that makes me pretty sure they haven't learned the lesson that the lockdowns were ineffective, which means they might come back.
Well, and again, I'm in a state that has been pretty well open, where we have a law that says school districts cannot order a mask mandate. We kind of think we're following the science just pretty well here, thank you very much. But that's the concern, isn't it, is that we're going to have this increasing split between parts of the country, more of an urban versus what I call good old American split, because where you are, as you say, in the District of Columbia, you got to go open the drawer and find your masks again because one public official said you had to.
It's a we've never been more divided as a country in sort of our basic perception of reality and kind of everything that flows from that. And, you know, I think there's almost a delusional spell that's cast over the blue areas where, you know, it's not even so much about deaths or hospitalizations anymore. They think that even a very mild, you know, respiratory infection with someone sneezing and coughing is something catastrophic that must be avoided at all costs. And the even crazier thing about it is none of the stuff they've done has even prevented infections effectively. It hasn't even worked, but they think they show their virtue by continuing to try in futility, even though it has enormous, you know, economic and social costs.
Is it too cynical for me to suggest, and by saying that, I'm suggesting it's not too cynical, that this all comes out this week as the House is being forced to extend the eviction moratorium as they're up against another vacation, the August recess, and at the same time that they're trying to gin up pressure to pass both hard and soft infrastructure in the Senate. I mean, the idea of whipping up a little bit of a frenzy here about masks to suggest either to take our attention away from this other stuff or to suggest, see, we're in a crisis. We have to spend another $1 to $6 trillion. Any thoughts on that supposition?
Jeff, I've been in Washington long enough to know you can never be too cynical. And, you know, yeah. I certainly would not rule out, such motivation.
Phil Kirpin, thank you so much for your tireless work on this. I learn something every time I see something that you've tweeted. I appreciate you talking with us here on the Todd Starn Show. Have a good weekend, and mask up, sir.
All right.
That's nasty on my part because I'm not wearing a mask, and he's going to have to if he goes out in public where he lives. That's just ridiculous. Phil Kirpin, what great insight. AmericanCommitment.org is the website. AmericanCommitment.org, and they focus on a number of public policy issues, but a lot of it has to do with the economy. And I asked Phil Kirpin once, well, how did you get into analyzing all of this stuff? Well, it's because of the impact on the economy, a variety of other things that they take care of at AmericanCommitment.org. We have another segment for this Friday edition of the Todd Starn Show, another segment of the program for the week. And so we invite you to call in at 844-747-8868. A little earlier, I mentioned something about Justice Department tells the Treasury Department, sure, give Donald Trump's tax returns to a House committee so that they can then distribute it nationally. Well, they didn't say that, but that's what's going to happen. Let me tie the loop on that before the break. Who cares? Everybody goes crazy about Donald Trump's tax returns. There, that will show that he colludes with Russia. They'll show nothing. I'm a lawyer who has prepared tax returns. The stuff that they think that they're trying to link doesn't show up in the tax returns. There's not the granular level of specificity that you think you're going to get in all that. So fine. You want to say you got a pound of flesh because you got his tax returns. They're not going to show you what you think. But that's fine. Go ahead and just try to embarrass him. And the rest of us know the game you're playing. All right, we'll take your calls in this final segment. 844-747-8868. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
And welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Hello, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, coming to you from News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa. Well, this is a tale of two tweets. On the one hand, Fox New York is reporting that New York City is considering a vaccine mandate for all restaurants. You must have a vaccination before you go into a restaurant. That's New York City. Meanwhile, ABC News is reporting that the great Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says parents can decide if their children will wear masks in schools. Parents know best about their children? The big government can't have that. 844-747-8868. Couple of callers on the line. Still time for you, but I want to make sure we get everybody in. So I'm going to go to Joe in Georgia on the great WDUN. Joe, let's get right to it. Talk to me about your thoughts on school board meetings.
Right. For the school board members, questions, sample questions for those that are thinking about going to school board meetings. Mm-hmm. Do you think that you love or ever will love my child more than I as a parent do? Do you think you have more legal, professional, ethical, or moral authority over my child than I do? Do you think you have the right authority to condition or indoctrinate my child so that they dislike, even hate, the country of their birth and is stated principles as written in our founding documents. Do you feel you have the right or authority to teach my child to dislike or hate another person based simply on skin color? What then do you say to interracial children with their multitudinous differences in skin shades? Do you think you have the right or authority to promote an ideology that defies biology, science, nature, logic, and reason, that exposes children to controversial concepts about sex, gender, and even politics without first advising parents and others whose taxes pay your salaries well in advance of doing so? If you subscribe to these beliefs and practices, you are yourself a child abuser by adulterating and robbing our children of their childhood innocence. Shouldn't you instead be examining your life to see how, when, by whom, and why you were sold these perverse and false beliefs? And finally, how many it's does it take to make a they or a them?
Joe, outstanding phone call. Thanks for calling in from Georgia. Thanks for listening to Todd's show on WDUN. A friend of mine tweeted today something that you know, every time somebody says we should not teach critical race theory, the other person should say, well, what is it exactly? Well, that's fair. If you don't know what it is, you can't argue for or against it. And I dare say there are plenty on each side of the issue who only know the acronym and don't really know what it's about. Joe is talking about being informed, and I love that. Steve, you're in North Carolina. So if somebody comes to your door, how are you going to respond, sir?
Well, I'll say hello, but let's get to something really important.
Yes, sir.
I know we're up against it.
Yep.
Listen, you're in Hendersonville, and I want you to do something. And I promise you, I'll bet you a nickel to a dollar, if you do this, you will, Todd or yourself, will go on, come on the radio and say, yeah, we never had this. Barbecue. Okay, this is North Carolina. Let me explain something to you.
Yes, sir.
If you throw an umbrella on a grill anywhere else in the world, it's called a barbecue. In North Carolina, it's a noun, okay? It is not a verb. Barbecue is a specific product, and you right now are so very close to the Holy Grail, okay? I have a lot of things I'd love to talk to you about, but I want you to do this.
Yes.
I want you to do this for you. I'm not kidding you. And
I know.
You do this, and I promise you, I'll bet you a nickel to a dollar, I want you to go straight, just where you're at, when you get out of the parking lot, turn left and just start going west.
Okay. Todd, I hope you heard that. When you leave the broadcast house in Hendersonville, turn left, and barbecue heaven is yours. Mr. Starnes, thanks for giving me the opportunity as always. Avery, Kyle, Grace, you're wonderful. Thanks for making this so easy. And thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Jeff Stein. This has been the Todd Starnes Show.